Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 337, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy wondrous testimonies, Lord, my soul will keep and greatly praise. Thy word by faithful lips proclaimed, to simplest minds the truth conveys. And what follows, Psalter 337, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 5. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 30. Zechariah 5. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side, according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side, according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth, and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast a weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up mine eyes, and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whether do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. The Confession of Faith, Article 30, the government of and the offices in the church. We believe that this true church must be governed by the spiritual policy which our Lord has taught us in his word, namely, that there must be ministers or pastors to preach the word of God and to administer the sacraments. Also elders and deacons who together with the pastors form the council of the church, that by these means the true religion may be preserved and the true doctrine everywhere propagated, likewise transgressors punished and restrained by spiritual means. Also that the poor and distressed may be relieved and comforted according to their necessities. By these means, everything will be carried on in the church with good order and decency when faithful men are chosen according to the rule prescribed by St. Paul in his epistle to Timothy. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal on this Lord's day. And may thou bless us with thy favor and with thy presence. Wilt thou do amongst us what thou doest in the realm of nature, where thou causest the wind to blow. May the blessed wind of thy spirit blow in our midst. O, the bride of old has asked, come, O north wind, and blow thou south wind upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth, O Lord. Then we need that wonder, that we may become thy garden, and that we are given to lament over our garden, where there are thistles, where there are weeds, not pleasing unto thee, and that we may be more and more uncovered by thy Spirit, but also by the south wind of the gospel, to be brought to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. May it please thee to bless thy word to that end, that sinners may be converted, false foundations uncovered, and that thy people may be led further than we have heard it in this morning hour. Ah, that there is a people for whom thou wast promised, and Lord, that can be the question. May that be the question of different souls that have come up to thy house in this afternoon hour. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? Then it is so necessary that we may be given to behold the King in his beauty. Lord, wilt thou remember all the needy ones? Remember the old father in the hospital with serious concerns. Then once more we commend him unto thee, for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones? Lord, perhaps discouraged when they are still unconverted, may thou do wonders to the glorification of thy great and worthy name. Oh, for them it has become late, but not too late for thee. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones? Lord, may there be more spiritual mourners born in the church that may learn to mourn and to weep over their sins and to seek pardon with thee. Wilt thou remember all the crosses, all the burdens, all the difficulties? Lord, we commend unto thee the nations of the earth, where thou continuest to speak, and where in general the nations refuse to bow, and so little acknowledgement that thou art the ruler over the heavens and over the earth. We also remember by renewal our neighboring province, where thou wast sent, where thou wast opened the heavens, and where there are so many difficulties, where there are mourning ones, those that have suffered much loss on the farm concerning their dwellings, and Lord, then also concerning this judgment, then from the rulers, it seems that there is so little acknowledgement that thou wert speaking. Ah, may it then be in the dwellings of the simple, that here and there a soul is yet found, acknowledging that thou wert just, and if thou wert dealt according to sins, that thou would have come with much greater judgments, and yet asking for mercy. Lord, may also thy judgment be used for the ingathering of thy church, and that a backsliding church may be brought on the right place, that they may be brought in their guilt. Lord, remember also our province, the premier with those that stand at his side. Remember the governments of the cities, of the towns, also of our town. Oh, wilt thou yet grant a returning unto thee, a repenting? And thou wast written in thy word that the time is come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God, Lord. Wilt thou then grant a turning unto thee while it may yet, and while it can yet, and impress upon all our hearts that we are part of this nation, and how great the sins are of this nation, where daily the unborn continue to be murdered in their mother's womb, the seventh commandment trampled upon, despised, the Lord's day desecrated, then we must say with the prophet of old, woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head, Lord. May it become more and more our burden. Wilt thou remember our community? Wilt thou bless thy word? Wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit? And now in this afternoon, our Lord, we ask for thy help, that thy word may be open to explain it in all simplicity, who is sufficient unto these things, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. Do grant Aarons and Hurs amongst us and among our children. Wilt thou grant empty vessels? Ah, then it is also the work of the Spirit that vessels need to be emptied by the first time and each time by renewal, to make room for the precious things of the Lord. Then we read in the scriptures of that widow, that when the doors were closed and many empty vessels, that the oil began to flow. Lord, may thou do it in this afternoon hour. Oh, with an impression sinned away forfeited, but wilt thou do it for thy great name's sake? May it be for the coming of thy kingdom. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 18, the stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. The wicked things in foolish pride, there is no God who will repay. He has no fear of God or man, because God's judgments long delay. And what follows, Psalter 18, the stanzas 3 through 6. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, what you can find in Zechariah 5, the verses 5 through 11. And we shall read the verses 5 and 6. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Our text words speak of Zechariah's seventh night vision of the ephah, with three thoughts. In the first place, the measuring of sin. Secondly, the revelation of sin. And thirdly, the carrying away of sin. Zechariah's seventh night vision of the ephah. The measuring of sin, the revelation of sin, and the carrying away of sin. First, the measuring of sin. Beloved congregation, in the last night vision, then we have seen that the prophet, that he has seen a flying roll written on both sides, and that flying roll, that would enter into the house of the thief, everyone that stealeth, and everyone that sweareth falsely by my name. Thus that means congregation, that there would be none excluded. And then we have heard those two sins. It speaks of the first table of the law and the second table of the law. And then also in that night vision, it was a calling to repent. Because when we read of those that steal, and of those that swear falsely, then it speaks of public sins, because all the sins, they dwell in all of our hearts. And that would that mean that every house would be destroyed. But it was a speaking of the Lord, yet to the Jewish people, even after they had returned from captivity, that they would turn unto the Lord, as we have heard in the beginning of this prophecy in chapter 1, verse 3. Then concerning that vision, then it was a vision of warning, of exhortation, because concerning that curse, then we read in verse 4, I will bring it forth. And then we also read two times, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and enter into the house of him that sweareth falsely. Thus that speaks of the judgments that are to come. Then this vision, the prophet was required to tell this vision to that Jewish remnant, that they would examine all their hearts, that they would be given to repent of those sins, because if they refuse to bow and refuse to repent, then those judgments, they would come. It is a shell of the Lord, who was filled full of justice and of power. Thus it was the loving kindness of the Lord that the Lord has come with the sixth night vision, that people would be given to bow. Have you thought about it, congregation, about your houses, about your family circles, and personally about that role with those curses? And are there ever times that it becomes a wonder that we may still have a place upon the earth, and that we are given to beg earnestly of the Lord that he may pardon us of all of our sins? Because what shall it be if we shall be called upon to appear before the judge with all the sins from our youth to the day of our death, and also our original sin? We have heard in this morning, who shall be enabled to dwell in everlasting burning? Oh, that is impossible for mortal man, but at the end, then mortality shall put on immortality. And now in this afternoon, the seventh night vision, and that is a very difficult vision. I think that with the last vision that even our boys and girls could picture, a big roll flying through the sky with the curses of the Lord, and that it would enter the house of the thief and those that swore falsely by the Lord's name, and that their houses would be completely destroyed. But now this vision, and it is not only difficult for us and our children, but it is implied that it was also difficult for the prophet Zechariah. And then we read, then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes. Then it is clear, it is true how often it is necessary for us and our children in the busyness of the world, mothers with the cares of the home, fathers with the earning of their daily bread, that we can be so encumbered and so busy that exhortation is now necessary for us and our children, that we may be given to look upward to the Lord, his divine attributes, who was everything in his hand. Also, how necessary that exhortation when we are so discouraged and so downcast. And there are indeed many reasons to be discouraged and downcast in this dark and evil time, where iniquity prevails more and more upon the earth. Oh, that we nearly become as that woman in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, that was so bowed down that could in no wise straighten herself out. Then how necessary the exhortation that we may lift up our eyes unto heaven, from whence all our help must come. But now with the prophet Zechariah, then it is surely, after he has seen the first visions, but also the vision of the flying roll, that the prophet was given to think of the houses in Jerusalem, round about Jerusalem, concerning the family circles, how it was after they have returned from captivity, whether the law of God had a large place in the family circles, or whether there were families that were forsaking the Lord. Because do we not read in Jeremiah 10 verse 25 that the Lord will pour his fury out upon the heathen that know him not, and upon the families that call not upon his name? Oh, then is Zechariah with concern. Then he was thinking of those family circles. Maybe the prophet has folded his hands and begged the Lord that there may be repentance, before that roll with the judgments of the Lord would enter into those houses. And now the angel has said, O prophet, lift up now by renewal thine eyes. The prophet has seen wonderful things already, night visions of encouragement, but also the last one of warning. It concerns sanctification. Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And then the prophet Zechariah did not say unto the angel what he saw. We think of other visions. When the prophet saw the man upon the red horse, he did not ask, what is it? When he saw those four horns, when he saw the man with that measuring line to measure the holy city of Jerusalem, even in the last vision, then he was given to see that it was a flying roll. But in this vision was so mysterious, even with the sight, that the prophet had to ask, what is it? And then the angel, the prophet has experienced with everything that he has learned, that each time he needed to be instructed by the Lord. And that is now the experience of the true people of God. For each step and for each way, then each time by renewal, oh, it is true. When they may be given to reflect on the past, that can grant much encouragement. Think of David, where he has declared that the Lord has delivered him from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion, and that the Lord would also deliver him from the giant Goliath. But the people of God learn that for each new way wherein it pleases the Lord to lead them, that the Lord must hold them by heart and by hand and grant instruction. What a blessed place to be for the prophet Zechariah in the night watches, that each time by renewal that he may receive instruction. Oh, surely for the prophet Zechariah, this was a night. There are matters in the life of God's people that they shall never forget, even if they became as old as Methuselah. There are other matters which the Lord sometime brings back in their memory, what has happened many a year ago, that they may be given to reflect upon it, and that they may be encouraged to that end. Many old fathers, they have kept a diary of the wonderful works that the Lord has done. Thus an unforgettable night. Do we also have those unforgettable nights? And what I mean is when we may receive an instruction and even a new blessing from the Lord. Think of Father Jacob. It was in the night when he has experienced a Bethel. And it was in the night in Genesis 32 when he has experienced the Peniel. That does not mean that the Lord does not grant those blessings in the daytime. The Lord is so free and sovereign, but many a times the Lord grants special instruction when that people may be separated, and that is also in the night watches. And he said, that was the angel that was continually the interpreter and instructing the prophet, this is an ephah that goeth forth. And what is now an ephah? That is a measure. Not perfectly clear, a measure of dry matter. This thought about two-thirds of a bushel. We read of the ephah different places. In Ruth 2, of a Ruth we read that after she has threshed all that she has gleaned, that she could take an ephah home to her mother-in-law. I read in 1 Samuel 1 of Hannah, after she has received her little Samuel, and when she would take him to the tabernacle, not empty-handed, that among other things, that she took along an ephah of flour. We read also of a David, when his father Jesse has sent him to the battlefield of Goliath the Philistine to see how his brothers were faring, that he was commanded to take an ephah of parched corn. Thus an ephah, that is a measure of dry matter, also for grain. Sometime in the Bible, it seems, 6 times in the scripture, that an ephah is referring to a large container for dry matter, and that the size is not signified in our text words, then it seems that the prophet was given to see a very large measuring can, maybe even a large garbage can, boys and girls. That is what the prophet was given to see. And now the question is, what must that large ephah, it went forth, it was moving, what must now be the meaning of that ephah with that flying roll that was written on both sides and concerning the curses that was very clear to the prophet? But now this ephah, this bushel, or this large can, had a lid upon it. What was now the meaning of this ephah in the vision? That is the question in this afternoon hour. Then concerning the last vision, then it concerned more the family circles, the houses of the Jewish people. But now this vision, that concerns more the whole nation. That is also instruction for us. We, when we may be separated from the world, and that is a blessing, then many times we think, does it now concern us so much what takes place in our nation, as long as our mothers in the dwellings may dwell peaceably with their children, when the fathers may work on the farm, on the road, wherever they may be? Is it now so important, as long as we may be concerned about our houses, and that God's word may have a great place, that is a great blessing? The Lord has promised us blessings upon it, that the great curses of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, may not enter into our dwelling. Should we then not be satisfied? But now in this vision, then it refers not so much the individual, not so much the family circles, but then it refers to the nation of Israel, and to the remnant that has returned after being in captivity for so many years to the promised land when they were busy with the rebuilding of the temple. What is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And that word resemblance, in the original, that also refers to the eye. Thus the eye of the Lord was upon this ephah. Thus we have said an ephah, that is a container to measure grain. And now the meaning in our vision of that ephah, what else does the Lord measure? Oh, we measure as much, because also that eye of resemblance, that is the Lord's providence, that he has everything in his hand, and he beholds the children of men, also all the good things, the precious gifts he grants unto us and our children, and what we do with those precious gifts, whether the goodness of the Lord brings us closer to this word or draws us away from that word, cannot be neutral. Oh, what a blessing. I read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. Thus this ephah, the all-seeing eye of the Lord upon the children of men, upon a nation, upon the nations of the earth. Thus that speaks of the measuring of sin. Thus then the prophet Zechariah was given to see this ephah used for measuring grain. And to fill the ephah, then we need many kernels. I think our boys and girls can understand it. But there does come a time with a container. If it is water, we can add drop by drop, and then can even seem a little higher than the brim. But one more drop and it flows over. And now also the ephah that the prophet was given to see was an emblem of the sins of the nation. Thus what a solemn sight that the prophet was given to see concerning the measuring of the sin. And there comes a time when that ephah becomes full. Have we ever become exercised with those things, congregation? With our ephah, it is true. Our text word speaks more of the nation, but all the sins of the people, each individual, each boy and girl, man and woman, all those sins, they are put in the ephah of a nation. Have we become exercised with it? Because let us always remember that we are part of a nation. And national sins brings national guilt. And after the long suffering of the Lord comes to an end, there shall come national punishments. Ah, the Lord has a people that become exercised with their ephah. Oh, they are given to count their sins. They cannot be numbered. And how distressed they are at times. They are given to weep. And they are given to cry unto the Lord. And they can be so afraid that their ephah is nearly full, when the Lord must cast them away forever and forever from his presence. But not only personally, family, in the context, then it refers especially to the nation. We read in the Gospels in Matthew 23 that Christ has even said to the Pharisees, fill up the measure of your fathers, that the long suffering of the Lord comes to an end. Oh, an ephah, a very large measure, not a small container, but a large measure. That also points to the largeness of the long suffering of the Lord. Oh, with patient long suffering, there are times that the church may be given to be wondered that long suffering, because every sin that requires a threefold death But now before the execution thereof, before that ephah is carried away, then in between stands the long suffering of the Lord, and how great that long suffering is. And what do we do now by nature? By the long suffering of the Lord, then we abuse it. Then we think that it shall continue forever and ever, that it shall never come to an end, but it shall come to an end. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And then we read in this vision that upon this ephah there was a lid, and it was a heavy lid. It was a talent. In the original, it means a weighty piece. And now that lid that was upon the ephah, then we could speak in the first place, the justice of God that resteth heavy upon that ephah. Do we not read of David in Psalm 32 verse 4 that he has confessed after he has committed that great sin? Oh, for a David, surely, then he has deserved the curses of the Lord. The sword has not departed. Also for David, when he has sinned, God's people, they sin not cheaply. They shall reap the bitter fruits thereof. The Lord shall chastise them heavenly. Oh, it shall not keep them out of heaven. Because for a David also in Psalm 32, he could speak, blessed is the man whose sin is covered, whose sin is forgiven. But then he has said, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Thus that led the justice of God, but also the restraining hand of the Lord, that upon that ephah, that it did not all come out. That is a blessing. When the Lord still grants a tender conscience, his restraining hand, sometime when the desire to a certain sin is there, then the Lord takes the opportunity away. And sometime when there's the opportunity, then the desire is not so lively. It is a blessing when we may see those things and acknowledge those things that we are given to ask, Lord, wilt thou now keep that lid tightly on? Because I read in Matthew 15, verse 9, that in her heart there dwell all those things. And then it is necessary that the Lord restrains us. But now in our vision, then we see more, because we also read in our second thought of the revelation of sin. And then we read, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And then the prophet was given to see something in the ephah that he has not seen before. Because in that ephah, in that container, there was a woman. And now that woman, we read in our vision, that woman has become so bold that she has lifted that lid up and that she has appeared to the prophet. And what are we now to understand by that woman? And then we read, then, and he said, this is wickedness. Thus that woman that typified sin, that typified great sin. Why is sin now typified by a woman? In the first place, the Lord has created the weaker vessel very beautifully. But now in this world, then everything is abused, misused, to commit great sin. And therefore, in that ephah, there was a woman. In the second place, a woman is fruitful. And so it is with sin. One sin breeds another. Shall we remember that young and old? The beginning is so dangerous. One wrong step, going one time to a wrong place, also an internet, is the beginning. One sin breeds another. Sin is never satisfied. We always want more. When we have one, then we need another. And also sin many times needs sin to cover up. Think of the brothers of Joseph. When they have sold their brother, they did not want to tell their father that they were such wicked boys. And therefore they have made a lie. Oh, even David, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, that has experienced such wonderful things, who by the inspiration of the Spirit has written such rich and comforting psalms for the church. Oh, we saw Bathsheba, a beautiful woman. He desired her, has committed a great sin, and to cover up that sin, Uriah had to be killed. Thus, the angel said, and he said, this is wickedness. In different places, a great sin also in the midst of the nations, that is compared to a woman. We read in Isaiah 1 verse 21, how is the faithful city become a harlot? And in Revelation 17, when we read of the woman and the beast in verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And in Revelation 2 verse 20, a message to one of the churches of Asia Minor, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things a sacrifice to idols. Thus, the prophet saw a very terrifying sight, an ephah with a very heavy lead, 66 pounds. But that there was a woman in that ephah, and she has lifted that lead up, and she has appeared to the prophet. Thus, that means in the first place, that woman, that she was very bold, so bold, no impression of the justice of God and of his restraining hand. Oh, then we see in this woman what we read in Psalm 2 of those rulers that are raging in vain against the Lord and against his anointed. Then in the second place, that woman, she had no shame. In the third place, that woman, she has come out to allure the world away from God and his word by her example and by her teaching, because we have heard from Revelation 2 verse 20 that it can also be in the way of religion. How many religions? The worship of Baal and Astaroth, that included the sins against the seventh commandment. And we also read thereof in the seventh commandment. Thus, an ephah, the measuring of sin, a large container, the long suffering of the Lord. And now the prophet was given to see what dwelt in that ephah. And that woman has become very bold. Is that not a picture of the nations of our day? Also think of our nation. how far it is true. A Canada does not have such a rich heritage as the United States or as Holland. Nevertheless, there have also been revivals in this nation, godly ministers that have preached in the 1800s that the Lord was also working wonderfully among the Indians, among the white men, when we consider the last century. Public schools, a century ago, the Bible, prayer, family circles, most had a family Bible. Children went to catechism, to Sunday school. The restraining hand of the Lord. Most people still went to a church, not saying it was all the right doctrine, also much deceit. Nevertheless, God's word still had authority. The restraining hand of the Lord. The family circles, divorce was hardly heard of. Did not mean all marriages were perfect, but respect for the oath that they have made. There was the family circle, father and mother and children. Children were seen as a blessing. And now when we consider our day, then what a blessing it is. Fathers and mothers and children, that we may still have a Bible, still may come to church, instructed out of God's word, sometime under all the discouragements, and there are discouragements, world conformity, the Lord holds his hand still that many can live so easily, even seeking it in the world. But then it is necessary to consider the many blessings that the Lord has left in our midst, blessed above most of the people, above most of the people upon the face of the earth. And now if we think of the Aoife of Canada, then also my and your sins are in that Aoife. And we have said, with grain, there comes a time that it becomes full, also with water. Thus also all of our sins are in that Aoife. But when we think of this woman, oh, in earlier days, all the sins of today dwelt in the heart, but the restraining hand of the Lord, there was still much shame and still many speaking consciences, that many sins, they were kept very secret, not in the public, not in the open. But now today, then we see that Aoife of our vision, the lid lifted up, and that woman appear, no shame, very bold, teaching things contrary to God's word. Then we only have to mention a few sins. Think of the seventh commandment. Same-sex marriages legalized. Transgender. What a foolishness. Ah, then should it not be a wonder that the Aoife has not been carried away. And then to mention all the unborn that are murdered in the womb of the mothers. 'Tis all blood that crieth unto heaven for vengeance. The Lord seeth it all. And then should it not be a wonder that our country may still exist. Oh, it is true. Lord, also speaking by the virus, British Columbia, great storms, also on the other side of Canada, on the east, also great rains, much destruction, then the Lord is surely speaking. And where does it bring us? Where does it bring us? But now we read that with that woman that has become so shameless and so bold, then we read in verse 8, there comes an end to the long suffering of the Lord. And then we read, and he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then the Lord has spoken. Then that bold woman, then he has cast, the Lord has cast her back into that ephah. Undoubtedly she must have been squished and crunched, uncomfortable. And then the Lord put that heavy lid back on top of that ephod, that the Lord said, it is enough. The long suffering of the Lord has come to an end. And what has the Lord now done with that ephod? That is our third thought, the carrying away of sin. And then we read, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. Thus then we have the ephah with a woman of wickedness inside, with that heavy lid on top. That woman could open it no more. Long suffering of the Lord has come to an end. The Lord has spoken in his justice with his judgments. But now the prophet was given to see two other women. And we read of them, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. What are we now to understand by these two women? Then you see, congregation, what a mysterious vision. Then these two women, there are different thoughts, but then we may speak of two attributes, especially of the Lord, and that is the attribute of his justice that flows forth out of his holiness, that the Lord is so just that he must punish each sin, but also punish the sins of the nation. Thus the one, the attribute of his justice, and the other, the attribute of his power. Because if you only have justice, you have authority in the land and not power to arrest, then justice cannot be executed. But now two women, and then we read that they had wings, and they had the wings of a stork, and the wind was in their wings. Thus then we can picture it, even boys and girls, this container with that woman of wickedness, with that heavy lid upon it that she could no longer escape. Then there were two women with wings like the wings of a stork, and they flew with the wind. Sometimes you see it, boys and girls, some geese flying. They can fly very swift. But when there is a very strong wind like today, and they fly with the wind, then they even fly much quicker. And that is now the picture that the prophet was given to see. That ephah was lifted up, and that it was carried. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whether do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own house. What are we now to understand by Shinar? We read in Genesis 10, verse 10, of a Nimrod. and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, another name for Babylon, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. Thus that speaks of a place of wickedness, a place of sin, a place of opposition to the Lord. That speaks of the world, that the nation that sins, that is as that ephah, with that wicked, wicked woman, where there is no restraint, very bold in sin, have not hearkened to the word of the Lord, as despises prophets and his law, that the judgment shall become, and that they shall be carried away into the world. And then we read further, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Thus that is a base of blindness, of the hardness of heart. Some commentators that believe that this vision refers to many years later, when in Jerusalem, the Jewish people, that they have refused to bow under King Jesus, that they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him, that those storks, they point to the Roman nation, and as two storks in AD 70, that they have been carried away into faraway countries. Thus an ephah, a woman, great wickedness, and when we consider this vision, then how long shall it be? Ah, the beginning of the judgments of the Lord. They are upon us. But how long shall it be? There is no repentance. And said last week, I think, British Columbia, much spoken of climate change, but the God who has the climate in his hands is not mentioned. Let us first sing. Psalter 280, the stanzas 3 and 4. Yea, the Lord is full of mercy and compassion, for distress, slow to anger and abundant in his grace and tenderness. He will not be angry always, nor will he forever chide. And what follows, 283 and 4. Zechariah's seventh night vision of the ephah, the measuring of sin, the revelation of sin, the carrying away of sin. And then in this afternoon, then we could also speak of 1 Peter 4, verse 17, that the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it begin with us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel? And why must judgment begin at the house of God? In the first place, because the number of corks shall be too few to carry that land. Then in the second place, the prayers shall not be sufficient to avert the judgments of the Lord. In the third place, that the church, when they are no longer the salt and the light of the earth, to salt the earth and to enlighten the earth, and then that woman of wickedness shall become bolder. And in the fourth place, it shall be that the church shall know when the Lord shall come with his judgments that it is not only the world, but that it is us and our children that the Lord has sent his heavy judgments upon the earth. But now concerning that ephah, and by mistake we have sung the last psalter, the third, then we have sung together that the Lord removes the sin of his people as far as the east is from the west. And then in a former chapter, in chapter 3, then we have heard of justification. And when in this chapter we read that the ephah was carried away, then in Leviticus 16 of the great day of atonement, and that speaks especially of justification, but never separated from sanctification. And then on that great day of atonement, it was not an ephah that was carried into a far land, but on that great day of atonement, then two goats were presented before the congregation, before the tabernacle, and then the lot was cast about upon those two goats, and then the one goat had to be killed, be slain, and Aaron the high priest would bring that blood into the holy place and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and then he would come out of the tabernacle to bless the people. Then it was a time of suspense for the children of Israel, whether the Lord would accept that goat. Oh, it is true, the hands of Aaron have been placed upon the goat, symbolically implying the transfer of sin. And what a relief it was when Aaron has returned. But now that second goat was still standing there, and that is called the scapegoat. And then Aaron has also placed his hands upon that goat. We must remember that those two goats, they are one sacrifice, implying two parts. And then after Aaron has laid his hands upon that goat, then a man has taken that goat and brought him into the wilderness, a place inhabited, that he may never return. Ah, that was the application of the first gate. A goat, do we not read in Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. But now, in this vision, then we may also speak of sanctification. And now the Lord has a people that becomes so busy with their ephah. Ah, the Lord shows them what black and vile sinners they are. Oh, it is a blessing. We have told you many times, boys and girls, a blessing when the Lord may convert you early. But when we are given to reflect, use of our time, mention one thing, maybe special places can multiply it out, then how troubled we become with our ephah, and then the wonder that the Lord still bears with us. And then we become so busy to keep that lid on that ephah, to bury that sin, to overcome that temptation. What a prayers are sent up unto the Lord. What a tears are wept. How sad that people become when that lid is lifted up again. They have to pray concerning all the members of their body, that the Lord may keep them. For that people, when that lid may be kept on a little, then they have a little hope. And how hopeless it can seem when that lid is lifted up. Then we are speaking of sanctification. And now in the life of God's people, concerning that ephah, we read thereof in Romans 12, where the apostle has written to the church, I know that in me and my flesh dwelleth no good. To will is present with me, but how to perform it, I find not. They hoped that their ephah, there would come a time that it would become perfect. That is a good, that is a right desire. That shall be the desire of the true church of God. It was possible never to sin. A vessel for his honor and glory. And not only a vessel concerning justification to receive all the pardoning of their sins, but also busy with sanctification. And now Paul has said, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. That is concerning that ephah. Then what if tears are wept? Oh, it is a blessing when the church may be exercised. Oh, in the beginning, they can be so busy with their ephah that it may be holy unto the Lord. And alas, later in the life of a child of God, in the way of backsliding, when that tender life is so missed, then they are not exercised. Oh, many times excusing themselves, blaming that old man. But what do we then miss? Oh, we miss that humility and that tender fear of the Lord. Oh, an eye upon his glory. And now Paul, he has also said, must read all of Romans 7. That is in the way of in the way of sanctification. And then he has said in verse 22, I delight in the law of God. And then in verse 24, concerning that ephah with wickedness, because that flesh, that old man is never converted. Then he has said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank the Lord Jesus Christ. We have learned from Reverend Hallenbrook in Catechism, I think we all know that, the older ones, justification, that is perfect. But sanctification, that is only in part, not to hide behind it. But now, what has taken place, what the prophet was given to see in the way of judgment for the nations, then God's people shall experience that ephah. There shall come a time when that lid shall be placed upon it, that woman of wickedness, that flesh is silenced. And when is that congregation? That is at the day of their death, the last breath. Then they shall be finished with sin. Oh, then there shall be an eternal deliverance. Then there shall be as this ephah, shall be carried away. That body shall be laid in the grave. But then the soul shall be given to praise the Lord for his goodness. What do we know of those exercises? That is so important also in a nation. And the Lord knows in this nation who they are and where they are. Undoubtedly places that we would not expect. But the Lord still has a remnant that has been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, that has become so concerned about their ephah, because it has been created perfectly. The Lord shall teach his people in the way of justification, free and sovereign grace. But the Lord shall also teach his people more and more not to strive in their own strength, then it shall go wrong, and not to become complacent. But Jesus has commanded his church in Mark 13 to watch and pray. On the day of their death, then the lead shall go upon it, and it shall be carried away, and then it shall be experienced for their soul. What a read in Job 3, verse 17. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard out of thy word a mysterious vision of an ephah with that woman which was wickedness, with that heavy lead of lead, and that it was carried away to a faraway land. Lord, when we consider our nation, then we have many reasons to tremble. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Ah, Lord, under thy calling and under thy judgments, wilt thou do a mighty work in the midst of us and our dear children. And then we shall become exercised with our ephah and with our sins, that they need to be pardoned, but then also exercised in the way of sanctification and a crying unto thee. Then there is a people that need thy dear Son in his threefold office. May they be given in this season to see him in his beauty. Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of the Sabbath day, grant traveling mercies, bring under the means of grace by renewal, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 267, the four stanzas. Jehovah reigns supreme, let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim, let earth before him bow. 267, the four stanzas. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.